Writing for a readership is about managing the difference between expectations and surprise. This is true for all fiction, but obviously we're here to talk about how it works in fanfic. So what does that mean, really? Well, in some fundamental way, a story has to match the expectations that a reader has for it, or they'll be disappointed or frustrated, and boy, will you hear about it. Some of those expectations are about quality or things like readability or punctuation, and we've talked about those previously on the pod. Today, we are talking about expectations for plot beats, genres, and tropes.
As Flame was saying in the last section, when someone says rom-com or horror, you have certain expectations about how the story will play out. For a rom-com, it'll be romantic, it will be funny, or at least joyful to some degree, and it will end happily with the couple we're rooting for together. If the story instead ended with both characters dying in a terrible plane crash, and the single parent's adorable Moppet left an orphan, but it was labeled a rom-com with one of those covers with the two people back-to-back with their arms crossed, smiling, and like some mistletoe above them or something, we'd be very surprised, and not in a good way.
See my feelings on the movie Last Christmas.
I have a funny story about that. I don't know if this will make it into the pod, but my mom texted me a little while ago and was like, have you seen the movie Last Christmas? I'm really enjoying it. I really like Queen Latifah. And I was like, so confused. Cause I was like, isn't that the one with like the heart thing? And like, yeah. Just at an utter loss. And then I realized she meant Last Holiday, which is like a totally goofy rom-com with Queen Latifah. And I was like, oh my God, mom, I spent like 3 weeks thinking that Last Christmas was my widow mother's favorite Christmas movie. And I was like, I don't even know how to start talking to you about this. I feel like you're going through something. But no, it was Queen Latifah loving to be a chef, which is a lot more understandable. And also a really funny movie everyone should watch.
I bet it's a great movie. It just feels a little bit more on brand.
So. Yes, yes. I had remembered it was called Last Holiday. So that was a moment. It was actually Mr. God. F who sent me, right? He was like talking about it. And I was like, oh my God, Last Holiday is a movie. That is what it is.
Mom doesn't like isn't into the ghost sex thing. Good, 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 good.
Good, good, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, side note. So if these sorts of things happen, we are very surprised, and it's not necessarily in a good way. But you can also use surprise in a good way. The value to surprise is it keeps your readers curious and interested and maybe even challenges some of their ways of thinking or some of the grooves or ruts they are in. There's a book by Terry Pratchett who has a gift for using twists of tropes in perfectly surprising ways, which uses the classic trope of a woman dressing up like a man to join the army, like Mulan. But spoiler alert, it turns out the whole regiment is women, all dressing as men so they can join the army for various reasons. And it comes out person by person that they all realize that they are all women. So it's a way of taking the trope, turning it on its head, and turning it into something new while still actually using the trope as a story building technique. For anyone wondering, the book is called Monstrous Regiment. That's a fantastic example of using a very well-known trope, but adding a surprise so it keeps the story interesting for readers. And that can be a great writing exercise for you as well, to take a trope that is well-loved, well-trodden, and say, can I twist this on its head? Like, can I take the fake dating trope and write maybe an outsider POV story where it's about these two characters being forced to fake date, but by the end of the story, you realize the outside POV character realizes and the reader realizes that they were actually dating all along and they were pretending to not date so that they could pretend to fake date, you know, things like that. You can take these things, twist them, try them from different angles. And sometimes just picking a trope, picking a favorite AO3 tag and just sitting there with it and spinning it around and saying, can I try this from another angle? Could be a great way to add some surprise to your story. But that's not to say that a story has to be surprising to be engaging. It really, really doesn't. Look at the huge mountains of cake that fandom loves to devour. That's just repeats of like fake dating, which we were talking about. We both love arranged marriage. We both love. A lot of what we love is the safety of knowing our expectations will be met when it comes to certain tropes. So when we're talking about managing expectations versus surprise, we're not saying there's some perfect line that every story needs to walk. We're saying these are two things that can work in harmony, they can work against each other, and they can both help either improve or I was going to say disprove, but that is not the opposite of improve. They can hurt or help your story. A lot of excitement of new media is about being surprised. So while we may enjoy a lot of the safety of not being surprised by some of our fan fiction, as we were saying in the last segment, if we're going out and looking for brand new media to consume, books or TV or movies or what have you, we might be looking to be surprised in a way that we're not when we're in fandom, or we might be looking to find our safety in different places, and our expectations will be a little different. So Old Guard, I think, is a good example of something recent that used a lot of known tropes, but also turned a lot of tropes on their heads. They defied some tropes that are problematic and really shouldn't be included, like the bury your gaze trope. In Old Guards, the gay couple, they're literally immortal, so they can't be killed, which is a bit of a nod to that. But it also still has some familiar tropes, like the older, stabler guidance character and the young new member of the team that comes in with a new perspective on things, and you know, they clash at first and they find their place. That's a great example of showing how you can take old tropes and throw them out, especially tired ones or hurtful ones, and still use some of those old favorites to guide people along so they feel safe, but also give the story room to explore new surprising things. Because I don't want to ruin Old Guard for everybody, but there are a lot of surprises in it. There are a lot of new ways of approaching things that were really clever. And then there are a couple of really solid old school tropes that you've seen 100 times, but they're done well. So it's comfortable and it's fun and enjoyable. And that's the kind of balance that I think we can strive for when we're trying to build a story.
Yeah, I am not somebody that believes in a surprise for surprise's sake. I can list you any number of mainstream properties over the last 5 years that I think were ruined because they went for a surprise, # Game of Thrones, and instead like didn't really walk this balance. They were trying to play gotcha with the audience, and because they thought surprise was always the goal. So I want to reemphasize that what Ferret just said, where surprise is not always necessary. And often small surprises are even better, just because life is full of small surprises, very rarely the giant ones that we experience in fiction. Mm-hmm. The point is, at the end of the day, when it comes to plotting and when it comes to using tropes, to remember what we said before, which is that you can't actually do anything without tropes. Instead of saying, is this too tropey, maybe think about things of, is this trope stereotypical or harmful? Are there any surprises in my story? Did I foreshadow them? What does this look like? Are the surprises engaging? Do they clash with the genre? How do I communicate to my readers what this is going to be? Do my characters' choices make sense with the characters? Have I built a world that supports this, etc.? If you're trying to add more surprise to your stories and you're struggling with how, you can ask yourself several questions. Can the world I've built be in contrast to any of the tropes that I am using? Can any of my characters make a different choice than the expected one? Can my non-point of view protagonists have motivation I haven't revealed yet that will help and be help kind of surprise, and that they'll be in contradiction to the point of view protagonist? Is it possible the goals that my characters are working towards are not actually what they're working towards? That's my personal favorite. Are there any wrenches I can throw in the mix? These are great questions to ask yourself. To use an example of how I crafted one of my more recent long fics, because this is a little bit of what I played with. So I was telling the story of the movie while sleeping. And so I understood that there would be probably at least 30% of people that were reading the story that would know all the beats. Because they literally watched the movie. Some even commented they watched the movie after I posted the first chapter because they wanted to know what I was doing. So some of the surprises for them were inherent in what I was crafting, and that I was always going to have to change something because I wrote Bucky as the best friend and not a 78-year-old grandpa, who is kind of the role he played in the movie. The role of the character, you know what I mean. But for the people who had never encountered this work, I still wanted to kind of keep them on the edge of their seat and still subvert a few things. So I had to figure out exactly when I had to have the character in a coma wake up from the coma. That's one of the major points of the movie. But I got to decide when. And I got to decide how much Tony interacted with the character in the coma beforehand. I got to decide who eavesdropped and heard about it. I got to decide all of those kind of things. And I asked a lot of these kind of questions. So if this person, if I've let the readers think that Tony's going to make this choice, how is it going to feel if I make him make a different one? And these are the kind of things I explored as I was going. Now, a lot of this stuff is a lot easier in longer fix because you have time to play with them. I don't think, like, sometimes one shots, things under 1,000 words especially, are not super easy to do it. Like, once you hit about 2K, I think you have a little bit more room to play with some of these things. I could be wrong and you could prove me wrong. Obviously, there are 700 word drabbles that completely play with this. But it's just a little bit, I think if you have a little bit more words, you can make the world a little bit more elastic. If you're looking to make a fic maybe a little bit longer, or you feel the plot is moving too quick, or you're worried about doing a giant info dump and you need some ways to kind of make it a little bit more stretchy, a little bit more taffy-esque, these questions are another way to dig into expectation versus surprise within your word count. If the plot is moving too fast, surprise your character, throw a wrench, do something, have an event happen. The readers will enjoy it too, as long as you haven't broken trust with them.
Speaking of trust and looking at a more, shall we say, meta way to manage a reader's expectations versus the likelihood of surprise, if you're a creator and you're sharing your work online, specifically fan works, there are some things that fandom culture chooses to protect people from being surprised by, and AO3 is set up to allow us to do this easily. As well as not tagging a story rom-com if everyone dies at the end, we can also use tag summaries and author notes to set up a reader's expectations appropriately, or to warn them that you are not warning them at all. This is an important note that some people might not know. So we're just going to dive into the details of this a little bit. AO3 has 6 major tags they call the Big 6. These are the only tags required by AO3 itself. That means A, you have to choose at least one of the Big 6, and B, you must choose all that apply. So you can't choose one if 3 of them are appropriate. The Big 6 are underage, which means specifically graphic sexual content between a person under 18 and another person, whether also under 18 or over. Graphic violence, which is a lot harder to define, but people don't really seem to be bothered by it that much, so it doesn't get used. Major character death, rape or non-con, which is short for non-consent, so non-consensual sexual acts. And the final two are included in the term Big 6, but are actually the ones that are kind of even more meta than that. We have choose not to warn and no archive warnings apply. You have to choose at least one of these 6 when you post a new story. It won't let you not. These are the things AO3 has decided require a warning no matter what. So if your piece has no underage sex, no graphic violence, no major character death, and no non-con it, you can check no archive warnings apply and you're good to go. But I really want to talk about choose not to warn for a moment, because this is the one that leads to the most confusion. Choose not to warn means specifically, I am not warning you about what may or may not be in this story. And that is completely broad strokes. It means there may be underage or major character death. There may be neither. It may have all of the Big 6, i.e. all of the 4 that are actual things, or it may have none of them. It may have none of the Big 6, but in my additional tags, there are other warnable things I'm choosing not to warn you about. It basically means prepare to be surprised. The expectation going into a story that is tagged choose not to warn is that anything could happen. Nothing upsetting may happen, but anything could happen. And some of them could be very upsetting. I've seen it used for very, very, very dark fics where the author didn't want to risk missing a warning tag of some kind. I've seen it used for temporary and presumed death fics where the author wanted to surprise the reader as to whether the character was really dead or not. I know some authors who use it for everything, just to cover their asses in certain cases. So make sure that you are A, that you're checking that area of a new story when you look into it, because a story might be tagged choose not to warn and then have very, very light or even very fluffy seeming additional tags and then actually be a very dark fic because they left out all the things they wanted to be surprises. Or there may be other content from the Big 6 that you're not comfortable reading that could be in there. But from a creator perspective, also make sure that in order to adhere to AO3's TOS, you do need to select the ones of those that are appropriate for you. And if you're not sure or you want to include it, but you don't know where to draw the line, things like rape non-con, they are different for different people. There are different lines. There are different cultural lines. It's not always easy to know if where you would draw between DebCon or non-con, for example. You can always choose the choose not to warn option. And that in itself is a warning that protects your readers and protects you.
The tag culture on AO3 is often talked about protecting as protecting readers. And it should be, because that's a lot about what it is. But fundamentally, anything past the tags that Ferret already talked about are a gift to readers. And that may sound really bitchy, and that may sound really harsh, but I want this to be clear, because what I'm going to talk about in the next couple minutes is the kind of culture around tagging that I think we need to have some clarity around. I do believe as a fandom creator that it is my job, because this is not traditionally published work and you do come to my work expecting some levels of safety, that things like that, it is my responsibility through tags, summaries, and authored notes to the best of my ability to tell you what is going to happen, to put you in the right frame of mind. There are definitely times where I haven't wanted to tag something because it's going to be a spoiler. So I'll put it in my author notes and say, hey, spoiler for this, scroll to my end notes. People do. Side note, this is one of the reasons I have cheerleaders and betas, is because I know my brain works differently than other people's. And so I need someone to tell me, hey, by the way, this should get an author's note sometimes. However, there are going to be times where your definition, just like Ferret said about rape and non-con, your lines are going to be different than someone else's. Things that I don't think of as a big deal at all, or a group of my server friends don't think of as a big deal, could end up being the world's biggest deal to you. And it's really, really bad. None of this is perfect. Absolutely none of this is perfect. And we talk a lot about curating your fandom experience. And we believe that, the two of us, we know a lot of you believe that, but even curating your fandom experience is not perfect. It cannot be. You will find things that are upsetting entirely accidentally, because that is how the internet works and language is subjective. The best piece of advice that I can offer you as a creator is that if you are somebody as a reader who stumbles upon this kind of thing and is deeply, deeply, deeply offended, and you would like a creator to add a tag, phrasing that in the form of a question is generally the way I know most creators would like to receive that information. Any suggestion that you make about an already published work, if you feel the need to make it at all, I would encourage you to offer it as a gracious question if they would be willing to add this to the work. Most creators of art, of videos, of everything but crafts, honestly, that I have encountered have experienced very, very hostile reactions from readers who were surprised. Some of it is that the reader didn't read a summary carefully or the reader missed a tag. But most of the time, to be completely frank, it's a completely different understanding of something that happened in the fic. It is that something that wasn't tagged for because nobody would ever think to tag for it deeply personally affected the reader. And there's honestly no way that we can anticipate that. And this can lead to a lot of pain. And I don't know anyone who writes to cause pain. I'm sure there are people out there that do it, like non-consensual pain, I should say. If we could all just kind of remember that everyone here is generally doing their best, and the words and cultures and understandings, generations have really different understandings of things as well. We don't know the people behind the behind our usernames. You guys might know Ferret and I a little bit better because we've got this and we talk about ourselves a lot. And there's certainly some other fandom creators that have kind of put a lot of themselves out there in some other ways. But fundamentally, we have no idea the lives of the people that are writing these stories. Just like we who write them and who create art and who create them have no concept of the lives of the people who are going to be engaging with it. Tags, summaries, and author notes are the best way we have to manage expectations and surprises and everything else. But holy mother of Thor, they are not perfect. If something is deeply, deeply harmful or offensive to you, I promise you can hit the back button. I respect and recognize, and I know I speak for Farrah on this point too, that so many of us come to fandom to escape. I certainly did this year. I mean, I don't encounter as many children and puppies as I do in my fix. I write soft things because I need soft things. I respect that. But just as the rest of the planet and on our offline lives, we need to offer grace to each other, I cannot implore you strong enough to offer grace to each other online as well. I've tried to cultivate an attitude of giving people the benefit of the doubt in terms of, especially when I read something and I'm like, ooh, this hits me wrong. I need to remember that they're not me and they're not my brain. And we all kind of have to work with together. Tags and warnings are also, just as a kind of fandom old moment, something that's really been built over time. When I started writing fan fiction, there was absolutely no such thing as tags or warnings. But the gifts that we have been given now, the kindness that we have cultivated now in terms of tags and warnings are still new. I know that sounds nuts, but they really are. And they're also chosen by people about art, and they're so subjective. Things that I consider deeply, deeply, deeply dark fic are probably a walk in the park for some other folks, and vice versa. And there's so much subjectivity and personalness. I would never consider using choose not to warn for some fics that I've written that I'm sure some of you would think that I should have tagged it that way. It is vitally important to remember that just because we were surprised in a way that felt bad for us does not mean that someone else did something wrong or intentional to shame us or blame us or hurt us as it went. It just doesn't work that way. In summary of this whole beautiful section, Farrah and I both believe deeply that setting the appropriate expectations for your readers as best you can is a really healthy way to engage with sharing your work. Not only because it's going to mean that more people enjoy it, which generally what we're all going for, and it's going to mean that you are going to be a clear communicator, but it just kind of makes the fandom wheels work these days. However, we're all going to make mistakes and we're all going to screw up. And just like we've said over and over and over again, fandom is a people. It's not a place. And because it's a people, we're going to just need to kind of work this one out together. So as you think about tagging, if there's something that doesn't quite fit in a tag, maybe throw it in your author's note. If you're afraid it's going to spoil it, say, hey, spoiler bar for this particular, you know, general theme, check my end notes. Be as explicit as you can that you feel comfortable with as a creator, and then go from there. And as a reader, the universe, I promise, the back button works. And in the meantime, let us all look to cultivate fan works and authors and experiences and relationships that bring us joy and the fandom culture that we are looking for.